back to another episode of the Badass Lifter podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about 7 overrated exercises for beginner lifters. There's a lot of different exercises that can really benefit new lifters, beginner lifters to become strong, confident lifters. But these are 7 exercises that I think we should just almost never use. I would say almost never use. And I'm going to talk about like why they're not very good. These are pretty popular exercises. So if you see one here that you're using right now, we're going to talk about why there's probably better alternatives to this exercise. And if you like this kind of episode in the future on the most overrated, or you want to see exercises on like best to worst exercises for building strong legs or something along those lines, let me know. I'm happy to make those, and I really enjoy making those kind of videos for you guys. I want to talk about the criteria first for when I say overrated before we jump into this. The criteria I'm thinking of are they are awkward to do, they don't have a great purpose, and there are much better alternatives, as well as they don't translate well to other exercises. That when we're trying to improve in one exercise, ideally it helps us improve in at least other movements or other exercises. These are 7 exercises that I think like just don't do that, and we're going to talk about why. One thing I want to mention before we get started. I don't know how this happened or why, but a lot of the reviews of my podcast were taken down. When I was looking at like past reviews, things like that, a lot of them were removed. I have no idea why. If you have left a review before, I would appreciate leaving one again. And if you haven't left one before, help me out and maybe leave a review, because they help me to find new and interesting guests. They help to have other people who might listen to the podcast understand what it's all about. So if you guys could leave a review, I appreciate it. But yeah, let's get started. So the first exercise that I want to talk about is burpees. And I think burpees became popular because they're kind of one of those like, I'm super into fitness and I'm tough kind of exercises. If the goal is to become stronger, burpees don't have a lot of value. And the reason for that is that like they're kind of like a weird push-up to jump in the air hybrid, but they're really more about like wasting energy as opposed to like getting stronger in different lifts. For many people, they're kind of awkward because you have to go down to the ground and jump up really high in a very like quick motion. The purpose beyond just to exercise, in my opinion, isn't there. And I don't know how it translates to other exercises. Like there's, you know, if you get good at burpees, I don't know like what else you would become better at through that. Like maybe push-ups, but even then there's like 10 push-up variations that I would rather you do than burpees. So that's the first one on the list. Back when I trained athletes, we would use burpees as, you know, if they were misbehaving, because sometimes athletes are like teenagers or like young kids, we would use burpees as a punishment as opposed to like part of their training. You know, if they weren't listening, you know, go do 30 burpees, something like that. But we weren't doing that because we thought it was like good training. We were doing that because, you know, some 12-year-old misbehaving and ruining for everybody else. So we had to get them to do something. And the burpees was enough punishment for them to start behaving. All right. Second one is front delt raise. Very common for beginners. I want to talk about like why this is. There's just better alternatives in the front delt raise. It's not a bad exercise. The problem with the front delt raise is that you actually train front delts in many other exercises, whether it's overhead pressing, like chest press, chest fly, like really any pushing movement usually involves the front delts. And so why are we doing an exercise specifically for the front delts when it has already been trained in many different ways throughout the week? And most people do not have a front delt weakness. Like if we're talking about building strong shoulders, the part that's the weakest is usually the side delts, maybe the rear delts, although that can often be compensated. That often is covered by other pulling movements, but usually it's the side delts that end up being like weaker than everything else. A great example of this is like how much do you lift in a dumbbell lateral raise compared to other exercises? And that's like a side delt exercise. So the front delt raise, in my opinion, is probably just overkill. And it's probably not the thing that you need to work on. I guess in theory, maybe the front delt raise, if you don't do any other pushing exercises, could be valuable. But in just a regular program, you're probably going to be doing some kind of shoulder press, some kind of chest press, push-ups, etc. And those are all going to hit the front delt anyways. So to have an exercise specific to the front delt just seems like kind of a waste of time to me. The third one, and I see this one in like magazines all the time or like celebrity workouts, things like that, is the Renegade Row. And the Renegade Row, if you haven't seen it before, is basically you're holding two dumbbells and then you're putting yourself in a plank position. And then you row the dumbbells one at a time while staying in that plank position. And looks super cool, looks really athletic. The reason why the Renegade Row is not a good exercise is because it takes two things that are good, a row and a plank, and ruins both of them. It makes the back not work that hard in the row. You don't get that full range of motion that you would like in a row, which you can do in any other kind of row. And then for the plank, you're kind of always moving around, and you want to be, the point of the plank is to be stable and to like avoid rotation. But when you're rowing at the same time, this is something that is like incredibly tough to do. So the Renegade Row just like takes two things that are great, combines them, and then ruins both of them. It would be better to do a row exercise on its own and a plank exercise on its own, and you would actually get better results than combining both of them. Looks really cool. I see them a lot in like celebrity workouts or like magazines or like things like that, because I think it's something that's a little more unique than just watching someone do a plank or someone do a row, but it actually ends up being like a worse exercise. Fourth one is battle ropes. And I think battle ropes are overrated for the same reason that burpees are overrated, where it's a lot of effort, but what it actually translates to is unclear to me. For many people, it's just using a lot of energy. It's a very small movement. It doesn't seem to have a great purpose other than like you just want to work really hard. And if our goal is to become strong, confident lifters, we don't just want to work hard. Like, we want to work hard with a purpose, and battle ropes just like doesn't seem to do that. I think those are common in like classes or boot camps, things like that. And it does get people going, you know, but in terms of becoming a strong lifter, doesn't seem to have a lot of benefit, in my opinion. The fifth one, and this one actually covers some of the other exercises we've talked about, are complex exercises. So these are exercises that are like a lunge into a bicep curl or like a squat into an overhead press. Like, you're combining two exercises and moving them into one. The problem with complex exercises almost always is that the weight you want to use for those two exercises is probably not the same, which means that one exercise is going to get a decent workout, and the second one is going to be either too easy or too hard. Like, an example is that if I'm like doing a lunge into a bicep curl, in most cases, I can probably lunge more than I can bicep curl. So if I'm picking an exercise for the bicep curl, I'll get good bicep curls in, but then the lunges will be too easy. But if I pick an exercise for like the weights for the lunge, well, now I can't do the bicep curl because it's too heavy. And whenever you combine these exercises, especially when you're combining a lower body exercise with a upper body exercise, you're one of them suffers, and then sometimes both suffer. And so it ends up being like, I think, again, this is one of those things, like, it looks cool. In theory, it saves time. But even if you were short on time, I would still rather you do one than the other, as opposed to combining them into one exercise. All right, this next one, and I did this when I started for sure, is the dumbbell tricep kickback. So you're kind of leaning over, you grab the dumbbell, and you like push it behind you. And we're going to talk about why I specified dumbbell as opposed to just the tricep kickback in general. The problem with this exercise is the benefit of a tricep extension movement comes from the part where the tricep is the most extended, which is actually like, if you're picturing like a tricep pushdown, the part at the top actually matters more than the part at the bottom, because that's when your tricep is like the most extended. And most of the time when you're doing arm isolation exercises, you're trying to build muscle mass. Like, it's not like most people are not working towards their like heaviest tricep pushdown. The problem with the tricep kickback is it's actually the easiest at the part that matters the most, and then is harder at the part that we don't care as much about. So it ends up being like the reverse problem. And we can just do better than this. Like any other tricep exercise, whether it's like cables or we can do a dumbbell tricep extension. If you want to keep using dumbbells, if you want to use cables, like the difficulty is going to be at least the same as opposed to, and this is just because like gravity goes up and down. And the first part of the tricep kickback is left to right, basically. So you're going in the opposite direction of, or perpendicular direction of gravity. So the tricep kickback, just like it doesn't benefit the triceps in the way that we would like it to benefit. Now, the reason I specified dumbbell is because the cable tricep kickback is totally fine, even if you're bent over. And that's because the cable is creating now resistance that is in line with the tricep. And so it's actually a dumbbell specific problem. If you do this exercise with a cable or like you can wear like cuffs around your wrists and then do a tricep kickback if you don't want to hold on to something. Yeah, so that's totally fine. You don't need to do that. You don't have to worry about that. Like you can just go into it like it and it matches perfectly. So this is a dumbbell specific issue. Last one. And when I mentioned this online last time, I got a little bit of heat from it, but I think I still stand by my statement and I'm still going to go with it. And that's anything with a Bosu ball. This is a piece of equipment that I think is honestly pretty worthless. I don't think it translates into a lot of, one, it's awkward for a lot of people because it's just constantly unstable. And in terms of better alternatives, pretty much any exercise that you would do on a Bosu ball, if you did it without the Bosu ball, would be better. And the reason for that is that when we have unstable surfaces, it actually limits how much we can lift because we're constantly stabilizing ourselves, which means that it actually holds us back from lifting as much as we could and becoming stronger. So if I'm doing a Bosu ball squat as opposed to a regular squat, on the regular squat, I'll be able to lift more. It'll translate more to other exercises. And I won't have to worry about the stability issue. And the comment that I got when I mentioned this last time was, well, what if I want to work on stability? And like, what if that's something I want to do as well as the squat? And the problem with that is that it's good to want to work on balance and stability, but you would want to do that on surfaces that reflect your world. And most of us don't live in an unstable world really ever. Like, even if we're talking like whether it's roads, whether it's like, even ice is still like flat and doesn't like change in stability. Like it's still like a slippery surface, but the Bosu ball doesn't train you for that either. I don't know if you live life on like a boat, maybe there's like something there that I'm like missing. That seems like a pretty niche category. The stability the Bosu ball trains you for, it just, that doesn't translate into really any aspect of regular life. And so truly any exercise that you've seen on a Bosu ball would just be better without the Bosu ball. And this is why like I don't program this ever whenever I'm training people, like, because they want to be strong, confident lifters in this world, not in the Bosu ball world. And the Bosu ball just doesn't have a good purpose. It's very awkward. For some people, if their balance isn't very good, it can also be a little unsafe. So I would say like anything with a Bosu ball, just forget about it. Don't worry about it. So that's the full list. These were the most overrated exercises I could think of for this episode. If there are other exercises that you think are overrated, let me know. I can make a part two for this. We can go over 7 more exercises on which ones are overrated and which ones aren't. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Badass Lifter Podcast.